In this catch-up,
accidental friend requests and cricket all-rounder Mitch Marsh ahead of the Ashes.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up
on Hit 92.9.
It's a trip and I can bug out to it.
With Heidi Anderson, Will McMahon and Woody Whitelaw.
Am I talking now? Because I've got a bloody interesting topic if I am.
Yeah, you are.
This is what I'm all about.
You're kidding.
Will. Right, thanks great. For asking.
All right, no worries.
It's for you,
Mate. So, look, I've been thinking about this for a while because I when I frequent the beach in the afternoon this time of year, there's a bit of a gale that whips up across the western surf coast.
The doctor.
In the afternoon, and he comes in thick and fast.
He does.
And as a result, with him comes his disciples, which are the many kite surfers, which flock to the water like pigeons on a crust of bread. They come in hot, mate. They get in there and they get their little pumps out and they pump up their thingos and, you know, I get a little bit...
their thingos?
Oh, their little sails, mate. Everyone brings the sail out and they, you know, on the grassy area and then they walk in there.
I've actually never seen how they do it. I've only ever seen them out on the water.
It looks very annoying.
Do they pump it up?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I just thought the wind grabbed it and off they went.
And that's how they got out there.
A little bit of inflatable tubing within the sail and they...
Quick pump. So the sail floats so it doesn't get caught under the water.
Yeah.
So a quick pump up and then you're out.
Yeah, exactly right. Can be a euphemism for many sorts of things. But anyway, that's what they do. They get down to the grass, they give it a quick pump, and then they jump into the water and off they go. And it is a sensational spectacle to watch. And I'm sure everybody in Perth knows what I'm talking about because this is pretty much the kite surfing capital of the world. The consistent winds in the afternoon mean that we get a lot of kite surfers. I love watching them. I love it. And I think that it's so impressive for me, but it is also completely daunting. Like, I really look at it and I go, geez, I'd love to do that. But then at the same time, I go, that looks terrifying.
Yeah, looks hard. Looks very difficult kite surfing.
Oh, it's so scary it looks.
I'd love to have the thrill of doing it on a skateboard on a nice bit of luscious grass or something like that.
Oh.
The water gets me. Being a long way offshore.
How do you get back in?
Now, obviously, as you get more and more skilled hides, you learn to tack in the wind. Well, that's a sailing term. I don't know if it's the same with kite surfing, but you tack in and they can get themselves back. But the thing is, we also know out there in the water, there are a lot of big men in grey suits.
Yes.
Particularly off our coast.
Yeah, they're always spotted, aren't they?
Yes, yes. And I was talking to my girlfriend about this yesterday and I was saying, when you are kite surfing, do you reckon you've ever seen a shark?
Surely you would have to because people that swim out in the ocean sometimes when they're surfing, they see sharks.
So swimming is obviously very different because you're in amongst it. Kite surfing, you're flying
right
over the top.
Yeah.
And what I'd like to know on 131060 right now is if you're a kite surfer, you might not have experienced this firsthand, but have you had a really, really gnarly shark experience as a kite surfer?
Yeah, like straight over the top of a 5-meter great wave.
Well, they get really high as well when there's waves. Like they can get 20, 30 meters in the air and you can just look down and there you go.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to know.
You'd hate to stack it when you...
I don't think they get 30 meters in the air.
We're not going to go on this. We're not going to go on the specifics.
20, we'll go 20.
10
maybe?
131060.
He's Googling it now.
If you're a kite surfer, I'd love to hear from you and I'd love to know. I don't want to scare people away from kite surfing. I just reckon there could be some wicked stories out there about kite surfers and sharks.
Yeah, or maybe you've even just known a kite surfer who's got a great story.
Yeah, maybe.
You just want to hear from the kite surfers?
I want to bloody hear about the time that you dodged a 5-meter great white shark on your kite surf, on your kite board. Give us a call. Up next.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
Right now, I'm devastated. I really thought, you guys know, I've been pitching this topic for,
a month. A
couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, it's true, because I just thought that it'd just be it was the most incredible amalgamation of two things. Firstly, the extreme sport of kite surfing. Perth's the capital of kite surfing, so I thought, right, well, we've got plenty of them. They're going to call.
Tick.
And then sharks. There's plenty of sharks.
Again, WA.
I mean, people like hearing about sharks, don't they, Woods?
We're known for sharks and we're known for kiteboarding. That's two things we're known for.
And so all I was thinking was, if we combine them, if you were a kite surfer who had a wicked story about a shark, I was like, we're going to hear these stories about kite surfers jumping, 30, 40 metres above a shark, Xavier?
Well, 20 to 30, but the one bit of vision I did find for you, Woods, you went about 150. So it happens in all sorts of...
There you go. And they're the heights we're talking at. That's all I wanted, Perth. 131060.
Still got a chance to call. We got Matt here, Wilbur from Gira
Wayne. I'm just devastated though. I just thought there'd be heaps of people going like, oh yeah, I was out on Wednesday and I grinded over a shark.
We've got
Maybe
Matt.
They're too scared to talk about it, mate.
We've got Matt here.
I did a pop shove it over a great white yesterday.
Matt, are you a kite surfer?
I'm not.
I've
been at the beach with my wife and kids, and we've actually had a kite surfer come up and say, just look out, we've seen a shark a few hundred metres.
Oh, so they're out there. You
got it.
Yeah. So did he actually fly over the top of one?
Yeah, because they do get fairly high sometimes, and they can see the old shadow swimming around in the water and that.
So how high do you reckon they'd get, Matt?
I wouldn't know heights, but I know there's been stories of them getting caught in winds and they've been blown away from the beach and ended up in people's backyards and that sort of stuff.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
I have heard of that, but on average, they're not jumping 30 metres, are they, Matt?
Mate, one left Cottesloe the other day and wound up in Bali. That's how high they get.
I heard that as well, Xavier. Now, but Matt, what you're telling me, though, is that there are kite surfers out there who have seen plenty of sharks.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I reckon this is a coup. I reckon they're
all out kite surfing now.
Yeah.
No, no, they kite surf in the afternoon.
There's a bit of wind this morning.
There's a bit of breeze.
I reckon they're either out kite surfing or they don't want to tell us that they see sharks because they're trying to get people into their cult. Because it's a cult. It is a cult.
And two, the more you talk about it, I reckon the more scared I'd get.
Ricky.
Oh, wait,
Ricky from Bayswater.
Shut up.
Ricky, how you going?
Hello, Ricky.
Are you a kite surfer, Rick?
Nah, but I mean, good idea. I thought I was going to be a kite surfer and then decided against it.
Right, so you're just calling up to tell me that you're no longer a kite, that you're not a kite surfer.
So do you have size 12 tap shoes then?
I've got the kite if you want to use one,
I'm okay.
Will. You've got the kite.
You could have a go, yeah. Will.
No, I'm not doing it. Ricky, it will just... Yeah.
So he bought one, you were too scared, Ricky. That's the problem.
We're done with Ricky. Bloody wasted my time there.
Ricky's tried to help you out there.
He asked for someone to call, and he did.
If they were a kite surfer, I don't like kite surfers now. I reckon this is it.
Oh, right.
No, that's it.
Don't soil your turf before you leave, mate. Don't soil your turf.
There's none of them in Melbourne. Didn't your girlfriend move to Perth to be a kite surfer?
Yeah, she did, and she hasn't done it since because they're a bunch of unfriendly people, obviously. I wanted to hear your shark stories, and you haven't called up, and I'm disappointed in the lot of you, wherever you are. I know you're out there. I know you're listening.
Life ban for kite surfers.
Yeah, you're no more on the show.
Never call the show.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
So, Zaves and I have been in Melbourne for the last couple of days, and I saw...
What are you talking about? You're in the studio with me.
Smoke and mirrors, Hides. Come on.
Jesus, mate.
Don't pull the wall down.
So, for the last couple of days, we've been watching Melbourne news.
Great.
And I saw this incredible story that has come out of Melbourne, which they're bringing it over to Western Australia. So, Coles has teamed up with Autism Australia, and they are doing this. Have a listen.
Supermarket giant Coles is introducing a great new initiative called Quiet Hour.
For an hour every week, lights are dimmed and announcements are switched off so that customers with autism and their families can shop in peace.
Coles partnered up with Autism Spectrum Australia, otherwise known as ASPECT, to design this low-sensory shopping experience. So the radio goes off, the cash register and scanner volumes are down, no announcement, no trolley collections, and most importantly, for an hour every Tuesday from 10:30 to 11:30, it is a non-judgment-free zone.
That's really bloody exciting. I actually talked to Courtney, my girlfriend, about this a bit. She's an occupational therapist, and she sometimes occasionally looks after a boy called Angus who has autism, and she talks a lot about things like sensory overload.
Yeah.
And that can really hype someone with autism up or really rattle them and can be really quite unenjoyable for them. Or then the other side of it, which is trying to get the arousal up to a certain level. Like, it is all about where your arousal sits. So that is bloody awesome from Coles that they're doing
And especially for the families and stuff that, like the parents and that they interviewed yesterday that were coming out after, you know, shopping for an hour, they were saying it's life-saving for them because now they can go about their daily business.
I was saying during the break, Ando, too, because I heard that same break yesterday, was M at the airport actually on Saturday sometimes, once a month or bi-monthly, whatever it is. They actually go and they close a certain part of the airport down so the kids with autism can come to the airport when it's much quieter, experience getting on a plane without all the stresses and that sort of stuff to prepare them to fly if the opportunity does arise. Because like every kid, you know, if they get the opportunity, the kids to travel overseas or travel to Melbourne or travel to the Sunshine Coast or something like that, you know, they'll love it just as much as anyone. So, you know, they do wonderful things, some of these big organisations.
Yeah, and I was reading through some of the tweets about it this morning, and a lot of people had been retweeting and saying that it's really great for mental health as well, because a lot of people that had suffered from anxiety, that was a big thing for them, getting going to the supermarket and living like a normal person.
Are they going to are they going to post the times, Hides? Because I actually wouldn't mind popping down to the supermarket when it's in a down period. Because who likes
Tuesday,
when they're going?
It's Tuesday.
Got a price check on wheat beans. Got a price check on wheat beans.
Oh, shut up.
Tuesday, 10:30 to 11:30 at Coles. It's going to happen across the country. So there you go, Woods. You can head in there on a Tuesday at 10:30.
Tuesday, 10:30. In the morning, Xavier.
In the morning, mate. We went shopping the other night. Actually, it was pretty empty. So that time was pretty good as well.
What was that?
When did you go shopping?
The old 24-hour IGA.
All right.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
Hey, just quickly, I've spoken about yesterday in Melbourne, catching up with some friends and family last night. Tried to organise a little gathering for my siblings this morning for breakfast. Shot a text message out to my little brother who'd had a big day at work at about 7:15. Saying, mate, let's catch up. Let's catch up at 7:30. Yep. Indiana, my little sister's coming. You know, look forward to chewing the fat. You know, da 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 da.
Beautiful.
Forgot about it. I went off to dinner with Hides and a few others, and I got a phone call from a disgruntled brother of mine. Unsure where I was. I said, meet me at 257 Clarendon Street, which is the offices in Melbourne. And he was quite angry. He was like, mate, you're 15 minutes late and you're the one that's organised it. Da, da, da. Looked at the text message and I didn't specify whether it was an AM or PM meeting.
So now, he rocked up last night.
Well, I text him at, I don't know, whatever time. He had like six minutes to be at Clarendon Street and he got there. I don't know how he did it. But he got there that quick in the Uber. Anyway, he was a bit filthy because he had early morning start at work. But made me think, I and he can't possibly be the only people that have mucked up the AMs and PMs in their life. I'm sure you've turned up at airports before.
Well, no, that's Woody.
Woods, well, you've turned up at airports.
I didn't get my AM and PM stuffed up, but I was of the belief that the time on your airplane ticket was the time at the place you were going, the destination. So I rocked up to the air.
How have you ever got between Melbourne and Perth?
No, I know. So I've often rocked up 3 hours late to the airport.
to flights
because I'm going in Perth time.
Because of the time difference.
I don't like to be jet lagged, so I live my life in Perth time even when I'm interstate or overseas.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
I've had a friend rock up, get ready for this wedding, got fully dolled up, got there, and it was the next weekend.
Yeah, we went. When we were in Italy, we went to the airport a day early.
Yeah.
Our flights were just complete, which was great. We had another day in Italy, which was fantastic.
I feel like sometimes you misread or sometimes you've got the dates wrong.
Yeah,
absolutely. But you're talking about an AM, PM switch over here, obviously.
Well, specifically last night, it was the AM, PM little drama, and he did miss out on a beautiful free breakfast this morning. But, I'm talking AM or PM. Now, I will take if you've had a massive blunder in your life and got the days mixed up.
So a huge time blunder.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I just want to know, 13:10:60, when did you confuse the times, AM or PM? Or if you've got a massive time blunder, I really want to hear those stories as well.
It is very hard. The AM, PM one is hard because often at the other end of the spectrum, I mean, you can really only cook like a seven or an eight or a nine or a nine kind of time. But once it starts getting into the 10 o'clock, you're not meeting someone at 10 o'clock.
Mm. No, well, sometimes you are.
I know Woody
a few
years ago certainly was, but I mean, it just depends.
I was a big mid-morning breakfast guy. That's what you're saying.
That's right. You're right, but I was actually going to a Star Wars premiere once, and because they were running them on the hour every hour from midnight, and I rocked up at 4:30 in the afternoon, and the chick was like, this is for 4:30 this morning. And I was like,
Who goes to the movie at 4:30 in the morning?
But because it was the premiere of Star Wars, that's how often they were screening it.
Now I am thinking about it. I actually had one last week catching up with an old teammate of mine. Now, there's a lot of Hawthorn players in Perth.
Yeah.
And he said, let's catch up on the 16th. And he texted me on the 13th. So I thought the 16th was obviously 3 days away. So I've texted all the guys, where are we having lunch and look forward to seeing? Because I haven't seen the guys for a while too.
Yeah.
And I text the bloke whose house he's staying at, and he's like, mate, it's another month away. I was like, oh, why are you organising now? I'm not interested in next month.
All right, give us a call. If you've botched up the time as badly as that, particularly if you've done the AM, PM thing, rare, but very good.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
Mate, taking calls on, just getting a bit of confused, 131060, with when and where you're meant to meet someone, and specifically for the AMs and PMs. Because last night, tried to organise a family reunion with my little sister and little brother. Little sister understood 7:15 meant AM in the morning. Little brother thought it was 6 minutes in the PM.
So, on your brother's side there. I'm on your brother's side.
Yeah, no, I didn't even think about it. So obviously it's my cock up.
For those people that are confused, you're on Melbourne time.
Yeah, I'm on Melbourne time. Sorry, I am in Melbourne. Yes. It was my mistake. But so he's raced around to Clarendon Street, got there. But obviously, I was at Crown.
Xavier's cock up, or in other words, Xavier's demigorgon. Let's go to Victoria from Medora Bay. Hello, Victoria.
Hi, guys.
Have you done Victoria. A bit of a Xavier demigorgon?
Well, it wasn't. Kind of. It was when I was at uni, and one of my friends had to leave, and she said, "Oh, could you just take my books home for me?" And I said, "Yeah, cool, no worries." So I sent her a text at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, "I'm on my way home now. Come around at about 5 o'clock to grab your stuff." Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting at home and I'm waiting, and I was not showing up, and was living with my mum and stuff. And next morning, 5 o'clock, doorbell rings. She rocks up for her uni books at 5 a.m.
Yeah, that's her. See, that's her stuff up there, and I reckon. That's ridiculous. See, in every one of these scenarios, there's one person who, for some reason, believes that you want to meet them in an ungodly hour. I mean, who wants to see anyone at 5 o'clock in the morning unless you're doing breakfast radio? And even then, I don't want to see these guys.
We don't start talking till 6:02.
And the same guy. That's why I think it was Xavier's fault. The last one, like, you know, why the hell does your brother want to see you at 7:15 in the morning? Yeah. He's got his own life to carry on with.
He had 6 minutes. He must have flown to where I was.
7:15 in the afternoon is far more. And with my Star Wars one, with the movie premiere, when the woman was like, "Oh, mate, there's a movie at 4:30 in the morning," I was like, "I'm sorry, but I think I was well within my rights to not think that there was a screening then."
Common sense must prevail.
I'm sorry. Exactly.
Common sense must prevail. Cara from Mandra, I'm sure she agrees. How you going, Cara?
Good, thanks, guys. How are you?
Hey, Cara.
Thank you, Cara. You've cooked your AM and PMs, mate?
Yeah, I'm the most conscientious person when it comes to flying because I never want to miss a flight. I was on a Kentucky last year in America, part of my round-the-world trip, and I went out on a cycling tour through San Francisco thinking I'd get back at the hotel at 3 p.m. for a 7 p.m. flight. Mm-hmm. Turns out I'd missed my flight. It was 7 a.m. that same morning.
Oh no. Yep.
And when I called the airline to change it, they said I was so lucky that someone hadn't done their job properly because they hadn't recorded me as not showing up. So I did have to pay $800 for a new flight, had someone put the paperwork in, I would have cancelled my whole round the world trip. So,
that's a demigorgon.
Now, see, flights are different. We'll go to Jess in Rockingham, but that is the full spectrum of the 24-hour clock.
Cara's cooked it there. Yeah, we can't blame the airline there. No, sorry, Cara.
So they do 24-hour time on tickets?
A, they do 24-hour time, and B, you have to be aware that they can fly at ungodly hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's no common sense there.
Jess from Rockingham. How are you, Jess?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Good, thank you. You've had a Xavier's demigorgon?
Yeah, I did. So it was my son's Christmas pageant a couple of weeks ago, and I got them all ready, all dressed up, and the invitation said, turn up at 8 o'clock. They're great. I was like, oh, that's a bit late for a Christmas pageant for children. Anyway, got them ready. They were all dressed up in their Santa outfits. Got there at 8 o'clock at night. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning. There was nobody there. So I had to make up some story that Santa was really busy that night. Couldn't make it.
Oh, no.
We ended up at Macca's having dinner.
Yeah, bloody hope you did.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
Hi, Gary Megan here. If you know me, then you know that I love everything about food, and now I'm sharing that love with my podcast series, A Plate to Call Home. Listen now on Podcast One as I speak to fascinating people about the innovative things that they're doing in food and, of course, share their stories. If you're into food, you'll love my podcast, A Plate to Call Home. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
Right now, we have a very special guest making a debut in the studio.
Our next guest,
Mitchell Ross Marsh,
is going to get on just fine with Heidi, Will and Woody.
he's got common ground with Will.
So I picked up the guitar. Yeah, I'm getting quite capable of that now, which is good.
Similar interests to Woody.
Play a little bit of PlayStation, Call of Duty.
The same social habits as Heidi.
I don't necessarily tweet much, but I follow all the famous people, so...
And exactly the same dietary requirements as Xavier.
Mitchell Marsh took the opportunity for a little afternoon delight.
Fella here with a cheese boy. He's Mitchell Marsh. Got some cheese, mate.
Mitchell Marsh, good lad, Mitchell Marsh. Really good lad. He's probably saying, have you got a lager or something to wash it down with? Maybe a little glass of red?
Please welcome Cricket Gun, Mitch Marsh.
Should we jump straight into the cheese platter incident, Mitch?
Yes.
I forgot about that.
Me too. We were playing at the Oval in the Ashes a couple of years ago. And I was down at Fine Leg for like an hour.
Yeah.
I was bowling, so in between the overs. This bloke was literally leaning over the fence with a cheese board.
Yeah.
And for about five overs, the whole crowd was just getting stuck into me, and I was like, I'm actually a little peckish here. But I'm not sure how this is going to go down if I'm, you know, fielding. So they eventually just lured me in.
Yeah.
This bloke gave me a little cheese and cracker just at Fine Leg.
Mate, really?
Life couldn't get any better. What cheese? Playing a test match. Did a fine aged set of cheese. Mate, it's great.
Mate, did you take cheese? Things really step it up in test match cricket. I remember playing under 13s and just getting stuck into the Tim Tams. That was our bread and butter. Now, Mitch, we were just talking about the fact before about the Ashes squad, which is happening tomorrow, kicking off at the Gabba, which is where it traditionally kicks off. Sean's in the team again, which is just awesome. I mean, you said he's quite emotional about the fact that he's playing cricket for Test cricket for Australia again, which is obviously, you know, the peak, which is the top of anyone's powers in particularly Australian cricket, to be able to say that you can wear the baggy green. And as, you know, a top to middle order batsman, I mean, he's been at it for a long time.
He has, yeah. I went around and had a beer at his house when he got selected, and I've never seen a bloke more rattled. He could hardly speak. He was pretty emotional because I guess at his age and after the last sort of 12 months, he probably didn't think he was going to get another chance. So sorry, rap for him. Just hope he does well and hope they start well tomorrow.
I read something about Sean actually during the week. In the first test of a series, Sean averages in the top 10 Australians of all time.
Wow.
There you go. Is that right? Is that right, Mitch?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm certainly not in there. So,
I think you're 11. I think they just went top 10.
Does that mean he gets dropped after Brisbane?
Yeah, maybe.
Mitch, what's it like with your brother? We've asked you to come in and talk about the Ashes, but is there a part of you that wishes you were there with him?
Yeah, absolutely. It does hurt not being there. But I sort of knew before the season even started that I probably wasn't going to be there. So that was fine, I guess. But yeah. Playing in an Ashes series at home is pretty much every kid's dream, so you do want to be there, but at least there's one of us there.
I know it's and obviously... You've had injuries. Yeah. That's the reason you knew that you probably weren't in for a shot, but if you were fit, who would you be knocking out of the team?
Probably Sean.
Yeah, Sean.
Do you want to talk about... Mitch, let's talk about that a little bit, because, I mean, injuries being a part of it, but, I mean, last time you were in the test team, there was a lot of heat coming your way for the way that you were out in the middle, and I know I could see it on your face, like it was so hard to watch you, because I know it was obvious that you were trying so hard and you wanted it so badly. Can you talk a little bit about the pressure that is being an Australian batsman in that sort of situation when there's the whole country watching you and, you know, you watch batsmen walk out in those scenarios and just the weight of the world on your shoulders. What's that like?
Yeah, it's a interesting feeling. Obviously, for my last probably 10 test matches, I've played 21, I was under a fair bit of heat.
And, so much.
You know, when you're not performing, it's the outside pressure and the perceived pressure from the public and the media and stuff. That's all something that you deal with even when you're going well, because there's always pressure on you when you're playing cricket for Australia.
Yeah.
But probably the hardest thing is that I wasn't performing for the team. I wasn't scoring enough runs at number six. I thought I was bowling pretty well
and
holding my spot there, I wasn't able to nail down that number six position. So, you know, that carrot's still there for me, and I know exactly what I need to do to get back. And it's a little bit cliche, but I know that I'll be better for it when I get there, because I've sort of been through
the worst of it. So. Well, and look at Sean. I mean, it was a very similar thing happened, wasn't it? You know, he got in there very much touted as to, you know, just walk straight into the position, and exactly the similar thing, wasn't it? He went out and he's back in, he earned his stripes, and he's better for it, is he not?
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, I'm 26 years old, so I've got plenty of time to get back in there, and hopefully I can.
Now, yeah, Mitchell, sure, you're an all-rounder, but you're captain of WA this year. Is that going to help your on-field leadership? Well, do you reckon that'll make you more of a calmer batsman, I suppose, if that makes sense, because you've got so much pressure to worry about other people in the team as well?
Yeah, I think it's. I think it really has helped my cricket for the start of this season so far. Like you said, I've got 10 other blokes and 20 other blokes in the squad that I've got to worry about and to try and get the best out of them. So when I'm batting, it's actually quite peaceful and out there. So, yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying that job at the moment.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
Mitch Marsh is in the studio with us ahead of the Ashes, which is very exciting. Thanks for coming in, Mitch. I think it would be a... we're going to really miss out on a chance here if we don't get to talk about the Poms a little bit. And there's a lot of choice words I could use there. But, I mean, I feel like whenever the Ashes comes around, you love to hate England, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You love to hate them. I don't know what happens. I hate everyone in that country straight away.
I'm on the emails with a couple of my mates that are over there, and we're already trash
talking
each other.
Can't stand them. They're dead to me already. And the one thing, the incident that came out just before all this, we were talking off mic, was Stokesy, who would have been the British captain, I imagine, going into the series.
Somewhat, yeah.
Joe Root.
But Stokes was the captain, was the batsman that everybody was looking forward to seeing over here, and obviously supremely talented. The footage that really shook everyone of him absolutely going to town and a couple of blokes out the front of a pub.
I missed that. Can you just quick? So the guy who was going to be captain, he was what, yelling at people out the front of the pub, and then
not just yelling. It was there
has
was
been stood down.
CCTV footage of him outside a pub throwing like a lot of punches.
You yelled out, "I'm Conor McGregor," and just went mad.
And then he's been stepped down, like, so he's like, not allowed to play.
Like physically, like, crazy, absolutely beat them at the front of a pub. It's hectic footage. I'm sure people have seen it, and he has. He was excluded from the squad as a result of that and won't be coming to Australia, apparently. Now, Mitch, you reckon there's an outside chance that if they're in dire straits, he might get the call up.
I reckon at some stage he'll be out here this summer.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah, lovely.
The inside word. Now, that surprised you. Do you know Stokesy? Do you know Stokesy?
Oh, I just know him from playing against him and, you know, having a chat to him in the change rooms after games. So
were you shocked to see the footage, or was it like, classic Stokesy?
Not surprised.
I wouldn't say I was shocked. Sure. He's a pretty fiery character.
Yeah.
Is he?
But he's also the sort of teammate that you actually want to play with on the field.
He'll
have a crack.
It was very interesting, Candace Warner taking a disliking to Stokes's punch on, considering David Warner not long ago went to town on Joe Root with a couple of punches. So it was a little bit of pot calling the kettle.
What did she say?
She was disgusted in it. But when Davey Warner was yelling out, "I'm Conor McGregor," at Joe Root, it was a different story.
That's right. That's exactly right. And the other thing I was going to say to you, mate, we were talking about it off mic then, is the Poms that you love to hate when you're out there. I mean, we were saying before that I can't stand Stuart Broad during the Ashes. I don't know what it is. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh, God, Stuart Broad again. Maybe it's because he's good. There's so many of them that have popped up so many times that I'm just so angry at. But it's often the bowlers as well. Jimmy Anderson, I mean, geez, these blokes.
Yeah, he's grumpy.
They grumpy out there. Yeah.
Jimmy Anderson he never smiles on the field.
No.
I've never seen him smile. But
no.
Jimmy.
You go at it hard for 5 days, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the test, do you guys share a drink together, or is that just at the end of the series?
Oh, I think it used to be after every test. I think it used to be after every day, to be honest. That's what my old man says, but they were very professional. Maybe,
different time, time.
But usually it's just at the end of a series, and once the series is done, we're all mates.
Enjoy
a beer together and talk about the series.
So unless you're Stokesy or David Warner and keep them in different change rooms.
Put them in a cage. That'd be good, actually. The sixth test.
I was going to say, Mitch, mine really isn't a cricketing question, but I was Googling you this morning and I saw the most things that people had Googled you about were your girlfriend and your salary and nothing about cricket.
I don't have a girlfriend.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, mate. Okay.
And, all right, so
do we want to get into that on air, or should we just...
I just thought I'd get it out there.
Yeah.
30, 60, do you want to date Marshy?
Yeah. It's quite interesting that was the number one thing that people had Googled to see if you had a girlfriend.
Oh, mate. Yeah, well, exactly. Well, look at him. He's great looking for a show.
The phones
he's
are going off.
Captain WA over here.
Oh, my God. The phones are actually going. We've got to take one of these calls. We've got to.
Yeah, we've got to.
Oh, they might be going for Alpha Bucks as well. So
I'll
let the producers filter them out to see if we have got somebody who's looking to be an eligible date for Mitch. But in the meantime, Mitch Woods, I know Mitch is an all-rounder on the field.
Yes.
That's what you're known as in cricket in terms of you're an all-rounder, you can bat, you can bowl. And right now I think we're going to test whether you're an all-rounder off the field as well.
Well, in entertainment, we call an all-rounder a triple threat.
Yes.
And that's one that can sing, dance, and act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
We're going to test all of those things in very quick succession.
Yes, righto. Exactly right. What would you like to start with, Will?
I think we should start with the dancing.
Dancing,
I think.
Yeah.
Righto. Now.
I have been known to have good rhythm.
Wow. Here we go.
All right. Can we combine the singing and the dancing?
Yes, we can. Yes. We can combine the singing and the dancing.
So producer Jack made a dance floor last night, so here's the dance floor. Oh,
yeah. I've got one of these at home.
What's the dance floor?
The dance floor, we've got a plank of wood.
It's a plank of wood.
which we put down.
Did we get tap shoes?
No, we haven't,
no,
got,
we haven't got tap shoes. No one turned up with tap shoes.
I would have bought some.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you can stand on the D floor here, Mitch.
I can stand on the D floor.
Okay.
So we're on the D floor.
Yeah.
And you're going to just you warm up as you like, mate. Just get comfy, start dancing.
Get limber. All right, he's ready to go. He has got a bit of rhythm. He has.
He's got a simple 1-2 down pat. Very
you can see this on our Instagram or our Facebook page, Heidi, Will and Woody. But I believe what we've got here is we've got a song, Woods.
Yeah, we've got a song, and you'll kick in at the highlight a bit here as you're dancing, and you'll hear the song lead into that. So
okay,
here we go.
Make sure you sing into the microphone there. Woods will put the microphone up for you. So here we go. You ready? As you're dancing, please, Mitch. So the triple threat.
Let's get it going on.
Get going. Here he goes. Oh, yes, he's off.
Oh, yeah, now.
Oh,
We'll go again.
I'm coming like triple threat.
We'll go again.
The best thing about being a woman is a prerogative to have a little fun. Oh, whoa, go totally crazy.
Yes.
Forget I'm a lady. Men's shirt, short skirts. Oh, whoa,
Yes.
Oh,
very good.
Killed it.
How about it? Singing and dancing, Mitch Marsh. Unbelievable. I think he's proven he's an all-rounder there. Oh, Woods, you want to do the acting with Mitch, did you? Just to round things out?
It's been a pretty long break, hasn't it?
Okay.
Should we go to...
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
Aren't you tired of paying big bucks to see a movie, only to find out afterwards it was kind of terrible?
If we paid to see this, we put ourselves through the movie gauntlet so you don't have to.
I'm Darren Hayes.
I'm Anthony Armentano.
And this is a movie podcast where we pay to see movies the week that they open and then just tell you our honest opinion about them.
We sometimes go off topic.
Can dogs smile?
See.
We might sometimes be a little not safe for work.
He means we swear.
Well, sometimes a movie is so f***ing terrible.
Or f***ing awesome.
That you have to.
Isn't this a great advertisement to check out We Paid to See This?
You can listen to the show at podcast1.com.au
or download the Podcast One app.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch up on Hit 92.9.
I'm just going to open the phone lines, 13 1060. We'll debate it up next. We'll go to a song. We're 13 1060. I want to try and figure out when is an acceptable time to throw a card out.
Like any kind, you mean like a birthday card, engagement card, christening, anything like that?
Yeah, Christmas just like card. A congratulations card or a get well soon card. I'm just talking blanket rule over cards, okay? Mm. Something special happened in your moment, in your life, and I love in your moment. I love cards. I love getting cards.
You mean like written cards?
Written cards.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Written cards
with beautiful messages in them.
So what do you want people to say, what call up about? If you got one.
Call up. No. Call up with when you're allowed to throw these bad boys out. Because I'm currently going through something at the moment and I'm getting a lot of cards.
What are you going through, Woods?
It's the farewell of the boys.
It's true.
It's coming to an end.
Play this song out, please.
Yeah.
Beautiful song. No, Will and I are getting a lot of cards at the moment, but I don't know when to throw.
We've had one card.
No, I have four cards. I don't know. I'm obviously more popular than you.
Four.
Who are your cards from? I've
got 30. Are you serious?
I've got four cards on my desk.
So, wait,
we've got a communal one, and then I've got another one here.
I wasn't even counting that.
Which is from the lovely Ames. Thank you, Ames.
Can I ask you, Woods, do they have like really sentimental, nice messages in them?
Yes.
Then you need to keep them.
But where do you put them?
You put them in a drawer. You keep them out until you get your new job, and then you put them in a drawer.
Look, we'll talk about it more at Max. Let's play Macklemore, but I think this is just a little bit of a sneak peek into the fact that Woody is actually a bad person behind closed doors. And I'm serious.
I'm
serious. He is.
It could be.
My cards for years. I read them to my
to yourself.
I'm a minimalist, Will.
Oh yeah, that's right. Strip it down.
I'm a minimalist.
We are moving to a trailer very shortly with no possessions.
Yeah.
The Heidi Will and Woody catch up on Hit 92.9.
Debating something now that's potentially making me look like a bad person, Will.
Well, I think it's
interesting.
I think it's high time that people see this side of you.
And it's good.
If you want to be honest.
And good on me for being so open about this. We are asking on 13 10 60, when is it okay to throw out a card? Because Will, I love getting the card.
I don't know if you do.
No, I do.
Yesterday we got a card from a mutually respected colleague and you threw it at me.
I didn't know. I was
paper. After he read it?
I flicked it hoping that it would land on a mantelpiece of some description so we could look at it and remind ourselves on how amazing that person is.
Oh, so amazing that you threw it.
Right, I gently flicked it. Rachel from Kingsley. How are you going, Rachel?
Hi, good, thanks.
When is it all right to throw out a card, mate? Because I love getting a card and I love reading it. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy and I love the person. But at the end of the day, if I kept all my cards, I'd be swimming in them, Rachel.
Yeah, so my mum has never thrown out any of my birthday cards or Christmas cards from the time I was born.
How stupid's that?
Yeah, Rachel, my mum's the same. Really nice. Does she just have, like, literally big boxes in the cupboard at home that she never, ever goes through?
Yeah, and I asked her once. I was like, maybe we should throw them out. She goes, no, we can't do that. And I don't even know who half of them are from. But
It's a really nice, like, I keep my birthday cards as well.
Where do you keep
all
them?
Of them? Every year?
I've got a little box that I keep them in. Yeah, most years I put a rubber band around them and I put them. I don't get that many. I only get like four or five. I get one from each member of my family and then maybe an extra one. And I put a rubber band around them and then I put them in a box.
But four or five.
But
times
I haven't.
28.
But I've only kept them since I was 15 or whatever. But the box doesn't fill up that quickly, and it's actually one of the nicest things you can ever do.
Do you read the cards again? I'm all for cards.
Well, not often, but sometimes like if you're doing cleaning or something, you reopen the box and you go, oh yeah, and you have a look, and I keep it in there with like photos and a couple of diaries that I've kept over the years. It's a really nice thing to do.
Yeah, that's what Griffo and I. He hates cards. He won't ever give a card. He's like, what's the point? Whereas I'm the opposite. I'm like,
on someone else.
I like to write lots of nice, deep and meaningful in there.
Yeah, no, it's not boarding school. Well, man used to write me like three or four pages of letters. I've stored them all away. Reminding me how much of a bad son I was and I had to do better. But I kept them all and I do reread them.
Keep them in your brain, guys. Read them and keep the memories in your brain.
No, you can't keep them in your brain. Especially, what about like when my grandma, she always used to write cards.
That's materialistic.
You should keep them, Woods. Put them in a drawer and save them for a rainy day.
Adam from Baldivis, way in here. Adam, how you going?
How you going, mate?
Mate, surely it's okay to throw out a card. We've got a lot of very sentimental, spiritual people in here saying that they keep all their cards they've been given in their lives. Surely you're a guy who chucks it out, Adam.
Mate, I'm exactly like the wise man Griffo there. What is the point in them? They just sit there doing nothing. I ditch them as soon as the person's left the room.
And I dare say, Adam, why don't you say it to someone's face? Why put it down on paper when you can look someone in the eye and tell them you love them? You know what I mean, Adam?
Woody, you know what? Sometimes it's hard to express yourself, so you write it in a card.
He knows he's clutching at straws.
Adam's on my side.
He's clutching at straws.
Adam's on my side.
Yeah, good on you, Adam.
Adam, do you want to help me out here, Adam?
All my family know not to give me cards. Yeah. I don't give cards. I've given my missus, a bit of a step back. I've given my missus two cards in our time, and that was when we got engaged.
You do it.
Yep.
And when we got married. And do you know where they are? In the big box with all the birthday cards, and no one looks at them.
No, yeah, you still keep them, though.
You've got them.
Oh, you should torch that big box,
Adam. You still got them.
The missus gave them.
We've heard all about it. Anyway, I think cards are a wonderful thing.
I agree.
I think
beautiful
and
sentimental.
Thing.
Well, I won't be writing you a card when you leave them, Woods.
I might email you, Woods.
Yeah,
Woods,
I appreciate
your story in your emails.
Yeah, that's easier. Don't need to keep them in a drawer then. I appreciate the email, Lex. Maybe with a GIF.
A GIF.
Can't put a GIF in a card, Will. Put a GIF in an email.
Oh.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
The Dry is a thriller set in a drought-ridden remote country town. Falk is a federal police officer returning home to grieve over the death of his old best friend Luke, who is accused of shooting his wife and child before turning the gun on himself. However, Falk's grieving soon turns to suspicion as he teams up with local police officer Rocco, and holes begin to appear, not only in the story behind the death of Falk's old friend Luke, but also in the dark past of the drought-ridden town as we learn of the death of a young girl called Ali 20 years earlier. Falk now finds himself solving two murders. They may be 20 years apart, but their fates are undeniably intertwined.
Got to a great point yesterday as Abe's been reading The Dry to us by Jane Harper, keeping us updated on his first ever book.
Yes.
First ever book. Zave, We've got Mitch Marsh in the studio right now. He's going to join us up next, but he's listening in. He's listening to it.
He chose to come in early because he heard the book review was on.
No, of course he did. He's not even going to talk cricket. I'm just going to read to him the next segment. mate, you won't believe it. I've been told I need to rush through this segment today because we're running a bit late. So for the producer's sake, I'm going to go really slow. So now we're going to refer back to just very, very quickly. Remember Karen, the murdered wife, hid the books from the library, and there was a bit of paper that said Grant in the book. Now, Falk and Rocco have brought Grant in for an interview. Now, Grant admits in the interview he'd love to have some sort of sexual relationship with Karen, but didn't. So that might have been a bit of tension for the
That's
death.
That's pretty bloody full on.
He admitted he really hated Luke, the husband, and they often had fights, but nothing over anything serious. He admitted once his uncle, who owns the property that backs onto the farm, he'd sell it as soon as that bloke died. And who would he sell it to, Woods?
The Asian investors.
The Asian investors would snaffle up. And he also admitted that the Asian investors would much rather two farmers backing onto each other as opposed to the individual farm. So there's a bit of motive there. But guess what happened?
What happened?
What?
His alibi, rock solid. His alibi at the time of the murder, rock solid.
What was he doing?
Grants. He was digging holes in the middle of nowhere with two mates at work.
That was Ellie's dad.
Doesn't sound that rock solid.
That was Ellie's dad. Yeah, he's digging holes in the middle of nowhere with two mates.
Anyone that's working on the mines.
What would you prefer? I mean, like, if he was in a meeting with the Asian investors, then he's probably covered.
Well, maybe not. Maybe they're buying the property up and that was part of the plan. Anyway, righto, so we move on from there. So alibi rock solid. During the afternoon, they decide to head to the school and look at some security vision and see if Karen was seen at the school of the day of the murder, which she was. Now, it was a blurry bit of vision, a bit pixelated.
Yeah.
They're unsure whether she was scratching her nose at the car.
Yes.
Or bawling her eyes out. She's not sure. So anyway, that was that. Now they go down the main street and grab some more vision. Yeah. And you won't believe what they've found. Remember Jamie Sullivan, the last person who saw Luke alive and said he was at home.
Yes.
Turns out he wasn't because there was a fire on in his house where the gran was left alone. It was a bit of a nutty. Well, Jamie Sullivan, sheepishly driving through town. Right at the right time of the murder.
Really? Jamie Sullivan.
Now, just to wrap it up, because again, I like to read it and find a hot spot and then put it down. I just drop it cold and say, I'll follow you up tomorrow night.
So where are we at?
Now, Falk's about to tuck himself into bed and the publican comes charging in. I need your help. I need your help. Races downstairs. Blood everywhere.
In the pub.
There's been a fight. There's a bloodbath.
In the pub.
Guess who's fighting?
Jamie Sullivan?
Yes.
And the Grants.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jamie Sullivan and Grant have just had a massive punch on in the local pub. And I had to put it down.
Wow, we don't know what over. Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff.
So, quick update on Gretchen and Falk.
Things were a bit steamy overnight. I'll have to tell you off screen what happened.
Yeah, right. Beautiful.
Now, Mitch Marsh is in the studio with us next. If you'd like to keep up with the dry, same time again tomorrow. Huge developments there. That's really heating up at the moment.
And I'll be bringing up my 250 overnight.
Beautiful.
So I'll be having some sort of celebration.
The Heidi Will and Woody catch up on Hit 92.9.
I want to know on 131060 what came out of an accidental friend request. So I came across a girl I went to school with the other day on Facebook. Look, I haven't spoke to her on the phone or anything pretty much since we've left, like 15 or 16 years ago. But her status came up and she'd written that her and her partner had met 4 years ago on Facebook. So she'd sent him an accidental friend request. He'd then accepted it. Then she decided to message him and say, like, have we actually met before? Sorry that I sent you that request. He wrote back and said, I don't think we've met, as I'd definitely remember meeting you.
Ooh.
And then love blossomed, and now they're happily married 4.5 years later.
Now, I don't want to derail you, but that's sort of the material I went with most of the time was add a lot of girls and then say, oh, gee whiz, have we met before? Oh, sorry about that accidental
ad. Is that what you used to do?
Oh, countless times. Countless times. Cheeksy would dive into that.
A young Xavier Ellis used to go to the nightclub he'd frequent on a Saturday night. He'd go through all the photos that the nightclub would put up, and then he had a cut and paste message that he'd write and say, I'm not sure if we met, but I'd love to catch up with a drink with you if you would. It was a great little play. Yeah, running there.
And then when Facebook tried to automatically tag him, and if it wasn't the person, I'd add that person as well, just get numbers and try my luck.
And how did you go?
No good.
No,
you've got to throw the net out. You got to
use Facebook for that reason. Well, I want to know on 131060 what came out of an accidental friend request for you. It could be a love story.
Yeah, I agree.
It could be a child. Like maybe you started speaking to someone and then you decided to hook up.
Found your parents. Mm.
Could be that you found someone, cheating scandal. I want something juicy here.
Okay. All right.
131060. So this is a love story that came out of an accidental friend request.
Yep.
What came out of it for you?
The Heidi Will and Woody catch up on Hit 92.9.
What came out of an accidental friend request on Facebook? So, girl I went to high school with, just found out that the guy she married recently was an accidental friend request. She then messaged him. He messaged back, said they'd never met before, started talking, and then 4 years later they've been married.
Beautiful. Jess from Armadale, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Something
hey,
good,
Jess.
Something good's come from an accidental friend request?
Yeah, it was about 4.5 years ago. I had some person randomly add me on Facebook, and we didn't have our last names as the correct last names. They were just made up sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we've been flirting for a little while, and one of my cousins commented on his Facebook status, and I've turned around and said, oh, what's up, cuz? And I kind of looked at it and thought, I wonder, and I messaged him and I asked him what his last name was, and sure enough, we were cousins.
So you were flirting with your cousin, but you hadn't actually met up with him yet?
Yeah, we actually had no each other. No, we had no idea each other existed, so.
And are you guys still together, or?
Nah, we're just really good friends. Luckily, flirting was all that happened.
What sort of material did he go with?
Pardon?
What sort of material did he go with?
Oh, just general flirting, sending kisses and whatnot, telling me I was pretty.
Wow.
Yeah. I was going to say, lucky you never had a real life kiss.
Yes, bit awkward at a family Christmas as it stands already.
Mm.
So, Jessica, no lurking under the mistletoe when your cousin's in town.
Tiff? Hello, Tiffany.
Yes.
What happened?
Hi, guys. So, when I was 19, I randomly sent a friend request, like Zave did, to a bunch of guys and stuff like that.
Like Zave did.
Great call, great
move. For those who don't know, Zave did that to try and pick up girls. So, you did the same thing, too.
That's rough, Zave.
No, that's exactly why I did it.
Sorry, Tiff, go on.
No, that's okay. And so, I randomly sent a request to my now fiance, and at the time, he thought I was 15, and he's like, oh, my God, what's this 15-year-old trying to add me because I've got a baby face? So we just started, like, he messaged me and was like, how do I know you and stuff? I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I just thought you were cute because your profile picture was quite cute. And then we just hit it off from there, went out on a date and stuff, and then he realized actually I was 19. And now we're actually building a house and getting married October 2019.
Sorry, can I just say, Tiff, I hate to wreck the romance here, but is it a worry for you that when he thought you were 15, he's still engaged in Facebook flirting?
No. When I rocked up to his house, because I went to his house first, I was so scared because it was like a dark street. There was all these cars out the front, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
It really could have gone the other way. And we really,
oh my God, I'm going to die.
We don't recommend rocking up to people's houses in dark streets if you've just spoken to them on Facebook as well. I mean,
or bring a buddy.
Bring a buddy or bring a police officer.
And so, Tiff, and then what? You hit it off, and then now you're happily engaged.
Great work. Great stuff.
Beautiful, romantic, happy ending there.
But as Will said, it doesn't all go that way.
No, it doesn't. I mean, let's be honest. Tiff's from Gosnells. It's just an absolute miracle she's alive.
Hey, pull up. I love the people
that really
of Gosnells.
It's a Cinderella story. That is a fairy tale.
Is that how you met M, Xavier? Facebook friend request?
Yeah, it was pretty similar, actually. I hadn't had a kiss and I was 23, so I started...
Cheeksy
got in there and had a crack.
Catch up with Heidi, Will and Woody on the Hit app. Download it today.